Today's reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. I think you'll find that on page 85 in the New Testament sections of the Pew Bibles. That's Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. And they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." This is the word of the Lord.
Now in the Bible reading today, a strange word from Jesus. "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken." Here we are on the first day, the Easter day. Remember, Jesus being crucified Friday, laid in the tomb. First day of the week, the women come, and the angels chide them for being there. "What are you looking for the living amongst the dead? If you'd remembered what Jesus said, you wouldn't have made a mistake like this. What are you doing here?" They get no credit for that. Misplaced is what is happening. That devotion is directed in the wrong way. "Why are you seeking the living?" Now, these two on the way to Emmaus, talking about what's happened, Jesus joins them. They don't recognize who he is. They're talking away. He says, "All look fairly down in the mouth." It's a fairly rough translation, that, isn't it? "Why are you looking so sad?" They tell him about himself. "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know about Jesus of Nazareth, delivered over to death by the high priests?" And there's this hopeless word. We had hoped that he was the Redeemer of Israel. And Jesus, what's he say to that? "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. In exactly the same way that the women get chided for their misdirected devotion, these two get chided for not knowing what's in the Bible. That's what Jesus said to them. And the first thing I want to point out to you today is this. Jesus says to them, and through it to us, everything you need to know about God is in the Bible. That's what this part of the Word of God says to us today. Everything you need to know about God, you can find in the Bible. You've got everything you need. Beginning with all the scriptures, he explained to them the things concerning himself. Friends of mine were at a conference recently in Canberra where they were talking about Aboriginal land rights, and he said there was a lovely old Aboriginal lady there, and the conversation had gone on for quite a long while, and she rose up and said, 200 years ago, European settlement came to this country. You stole all the land from us, but you gave us the Bible. And I consider we got the best part of the deal. Now, I don't know if you'd be able to say that. I consider we got the best part of the deal. What Jesus is saying to them is, if you had read your Bible and understood it, you wouldn't have made the mistake you're making now. We had hoped that he would be the Redeemer of Israel. He said, if you'd read your Bible and understood it, you'd have known. You'd have recognised, as everything was taking place in Jerusalem, that it had to be that way, and that it was the exact fulfilment of everything God had always spoken about. You wouldn't have made a mistake like this. The women get into trouble for misguided devotion. These people get chided by the risen Jesus for not having read their Bibles. Do you remember the story about the rich man and Lazarus? Remember that story? The rich man fed sumptuous every day and Lazarus poor at the gates, and they both die. Lazarus goes to heaven. It's pictured as being in Abram's bosom. And the rich man goes to hell. And in hell, not all that pleased with it, he calls out to Abraham and says, I've got five brothers and they're careless like I am. Just ordinary Australians, like all Australians, never read their Bibles, never go to church, but nice men, quite nice brothers really. And I'm rather fond of them. And I certainly don't want them to end up here. I wonder if you could have Lazarus nip back and warn them. You know what the answer is? What does Abraham say? They've got Bibles, haven't they? Oh, Father Abraham, they never read the Bible. They don't actually believe it. And comes the chilling word. Nor will they if one were to rise from the dead. Got it? If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, neither would they if one rose from the dead. Oh, foolish and slow of heart, says Jesus, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. On the first weekend of May, the first edition of the Creole Bible for Aboriginals in Northern Territory is to be dedicated. But you've had a Bible in your native tongue, and so have I from the day I was born. I've had it available to me, the very information that brings me into a living fellowship with God. That's the first thing I draw to your attention, that Jesus says to them, O foolish men and slow of heart, to believe the Bible. You'll get no credit from Jesus if you think you're better than the scriptures. You'll get no credit from him. Because opening up the scriptures, and this brings me to my second point, he explained to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. Now, Dick has already dealt with this 2 weeks ago, but let me remind you about it. Have you ever thought that, why didn't he just say to them, look, here I am, it's me. No need to worry anymore. I'm alive again, I'm fit and well, and here I am, and it's all back on the rails again. What do you think he didn't do that for? You ever given a moment's thought to that? You'd have done it that way, wouldn't you? I certainly would have. I'm always mucking things up. You see? People keep saying to me, look, I'd really believe if Jesus just appeared now. I said, would you? Would you? Yes. I said, honest. I mean, would you now? And gone again. Well, people over there, you'd be bad luck, you wouldn't see. You see? You'd have to take our word for it. But these people here, they'd get the ringside seat, and certainly, Ronald, you'd see. Now, would you believe? You'd rush back to the office and say, you know what we saw in that church? Someone said, get out, they do it with mirrors. And then you say to yourself, well, did I really see him? I wonder if it is a trick they play. I wonder if I just talked myself into it. There were so many people and I got caught up with the moment. He doesn't do anything foolish like that. He opens the Bible for them. And he shows them in all of the scriptures the things about himself. You ever thought about that? In the clear light of day, any day they liked, they could pull out the Bible and open it up themselves. They could go to that Isaiah 53 where he'd shown them how the Christ had to suffer. They could go to Psalm 110 and read where God says, "Oh, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand." And over again they could go back to the Bible any day they liked and said, "We were not mistaken. We were not mistaken. This is what God's always been on about." He opened the scriptures, and you know what? Any day they liked, they could open it up and say, our heart burned within us as he taught us the Bible. And they were able to do it any day. It was full of stability. Can I draw your attention to the fact that it was all about Jesus? He opened the scriptures to them and showed them in all the great sections of the Old Testament that it was really about himself. Do you know it's possible to go to the Bible and miss its main theme? Do you know I actually saw a book in a bookshelf and it was called Fauna and Flora in the Bible. Could you beat it? I'm not going to say it again. I got it right the first time. I'm not going to push my luck the second time. Flowers and animals in the Bible. Can you believe it? That somebody could actually write a book about something totally peripheral. There are books and books and books written analysing the form of the writings. But I tell you, nothing could be more tragic than if you go to it and miss its main theme, which is Jesus. How foolish you are, he says, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. And he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Presumably, these two on the way to Emmaus had missed the point. In the terrible crisis that swept over them, they were not able to recognize from their knowledge of the Bible that they were seeing the very fulfillment of all God's purposes there before their eyes. And they are not commended for their ignorance. Foolish men. The Bible is all about the Lord Jesus. It's meant to bring us to him and him to us. Let me say it again. The Bible is meant to bring him to us and us to him. This is God's way, and this is the God-given way of finding him. And I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we neglect it at our peril. We neglect it at our peril. How long is it since you read the gospel? You read the gospel since you become an adult? Or did you make your judgments on it in childhood? Have you read it this year? I know we haven't gone through the year very far. January, February. Well, we have gone through it quite a long way. More than a quarter of it's gone. Oh, foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet said. And opening the scriptures to them, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well then, if the Bible is all about Jesus, let me show you the third thing which he says to them and through them to us today. Verse 26. Was it not necessary... Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory? Jesus is at the very center of what all the Bible is about. It's all about him. because he is at the centre of all of God's purposes. And if you want to know what is at the centre of all of Jesus' work, it is his death and resurrection for us. I have recently invested in a new camera. It was fairly expensive, and the bump told me that it was foolproof. It's not actually as foolproof as they make it out to be, but it nearly is. And it's one of those things where if I stood in the pulpit here and looked through the viewfinder and pull out the barrel, Hugh Palmer leaps from the very back door and fills the whole of the picture. It's that sort of a one. And if I push my finger on a button here, it goes, and it comes into the sharpest possible focus. Can I say, with regard to the Bible, when you pull the barrel out, the picture fills up with the Lord Jesus Christ until he fills the whole picture. And when you push your finger on the button and it goes into focus, it is his death and resurrection which is the focus. He said to them, was it not necessary, please notice the words, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? It was necessary. Jesus tells us the Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom for many. He took the punishment which my sin deserved so that I could be forgiven. To miss that is to miss everything. Have anything else about Jesus? You can love his sayings. You can Sermon on the Mount till you drop dead. But if you miss this, you've missed again the whole point. He said, oh, foolish, foolish, and slow of heart, did not the Christ have to suffer? Now, a couple of people said after last week to me, why can't God just skip it? They didn't put it like that. Of course, that's an Australianism. I said, why can't, if we just say sorry to God, why does somebody have to die? That's a good question, that, isn't it? Let me tell you what happened to me in the middle of last year. I normally work on weekends and I take Wednesday off. I play golf on Wednesday at my golf club, have competition on Wednesday. So I'd hit off at 8 o'clock and played 18 holes, had a bite of lunch at the club, sauntered off home in the car, and remembered that I needed to get some fruit. And in the high street in Penshurst, the village where I live, there was a parking spot right outside the fruiterer. It's the only time I've ever seen any parking space in Penshurst. And I was so pleased, I roared the car in, nipped over and bought the fruit, then remembered I needed money, the story of my life, went down to the bank, put in my card in the slot machine, managed to get it right the first time. I was really cheered for the day. Money came out, which is even more exciting. And then I bumped into an old friend there. Yakety-yak, yakety-yak. I'm sure you'll be able to believe that. And when I came back to my car, it was standing in glorious isolation. There were no cars in front of it. There were no cars behind it. It was 3:15. It is a freeway from 3 o'clock. I had never known that. I had never parked in the village before. There was a traffic warden writing me out a raffle ticket for $90. Can I just say, for those of you who might be tempted to leave your cars along here, the traffic warden had a field day on Saturday morning out here. She was going along just writing out raffle tickets as if they were going out of fashion. Now let me ask you this question. Why can't I just say to the traffic warden, oh, geez, I'm really sorry. You reckon that'd work? Not a hope in the world. We'd never get the place cleared. If that's all you've got to do, sorry, 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 sorry. It's a nonsense. You see, if there is no penalty to law, law means nothing. That's how it works. And if there is no penalty for sin, then sin doesn't matter. Let it slowly sink in. And if my sin doesn't matter, then yours doesn't matter. And if yours doesn't matter, nobody's matters. And 6 million in the gas chambers don't matter. And nothing matters ever again. And I want to ask you, is that the world you want to live in? You want to live in the world where nothing matters? And where evil will triumph right through to the end and never be seen for what it is? It's horrific. But you no need to worry about it because it's untrue. Once you see Jesus on the cross, you know that it matters to God. Now I want to say that you may not feel as if your sins are all that important. But God does. Because yours are part of the great whole, which when we see it en masse, we know that it does matter. And we give expression to it, if you're normal, that it matters. And I want to say to you that God dealt with it on your scale, which you might think is small, but it isn't. In my case, which I know is not small, and I'm thankful. But not only did he deal with it on ones and twos, but on a scale so big that anybody, anywhere, through all the ages, can be forgiven because of the death of Jesus. Please notice it, will you? O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Can I ask you today, as we come to an end, have you heeded what Jesus says? Can I ask you to think for a moment? We've got time. No need to hurry. Whereabouts is it with you? Since Jesus, at the very centre of all of God's purposes, can I ask, would you consider he was at the centre of your life? Would you think that would be accurate today? That even as he is the flooding horizon of everything that is in the Bible, could you say that for your point of view, you've taken heed for that? And with an honest heart, you'd say, Lord Jesus, I want you to be in the central place of my life. For he certainly is in the central place of God's activities. Second thing I want to ask, have you taken on board that Jesus needed to die for you? Or if he looked to you today, would he say to you, oh, foolish and slow of heart, not to have believed all that the prophets said about me? If you'd read the Bible, you'd have known that he must suffer and rise again and enter into his glory. With regard to Jesus' death for you and your forgiveness, could you say with an honest heart today, that's where I've placed my trust for my forgiveness? Now, you'll know the answer of that before the living God. I don't know the answer, but you will. Wouldn't today be a great day? No better day than your day, St. George's Day, to step right out in the presence of the living God and say, I need forgiveness. I recognise that when you died, you did it for me. And I'd like to say thank you. Lord Jesus, even as you are at the very centre of all of God's purposes, please be at the centre of my life. Well, I'm going to pray that way, and if that's appropriate, I'm going to invite you to pray like that with me. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the Bible we have everything we need to find you. We thank you for those who took the trouble to bring it to us in our native language.
and who through the years have continued to translate it for our benefit. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for dying for us so that we can be forgiven. And even as you take up the whole of the purposes of God, so we ask that you will be first in our lives. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.